This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Australia's number one award-winning show for exploring sex, sexuality, and self.
Hide and seek.
Visit joy.org.au/hide and seek. Good evening and welcome to the program. Dean Beck with you and Andrew Thorpe. Hello. Andrew the Apprentice. God, where's my head? Who's that idiot? Andrew the Apprentice.
Hello.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Oh, it's been so long since we've worked together on this show. That's what it is.
Yes, you've forgotten who I am. It's been that long.
It has been a while.
It's been a while. I don't know why, but you know, well, we've been travelling or whatever.
I have been though sometimes.
Yeah.
Get around
and
a bit.
And you know, we've had some fantastic content that's
and
been.
And you've had taken time off because you just couldn't be bothered.
Yeah, and then you knew
that I was on, so you went, no, I'm having that night off.
Well, you know, you come in here over the weekends and whatnot and record interviews, and I just go, oh, I'll just play that.
So where have you been? I mean, it has been so long.
So last time I was supposed to be on with you was when I was away a couple of weeks ago at the Men's Health Conference.
In Brisbane, was that?
No, that was in Central Coast, New South Wales.
Right. Okay. Yes. Lovely.
Yep. I don't know, just around.
Right.
Yes.
Well, you missed a lovely episode on fisting, which is available on podcast.
Yes, it is.
And
at joy.org.au/hide and seek.
What did I miss last week?
You missed last week Phil. So Phil joined Tim and I to talk about his experiences of prep.
I got about the last 10 minutes of that and I thought, oh, good on you, boys. That's a really good conversation because it was going really well.
And Dean, we get some stats every now and then on our podcast, and apparently, I have to go back and do the sums, but this appears to be our biggest ever podcast in the first 48 hours at least. So if you haven't caught it yet, go in, have a listen. It's great. Entertaining and informative programming.
Now, on tonight's show, Andrew.
Yes, on tonight's show, we're finding about Burning Man.
Now, if you don't know what Burning Man is, dear listener, it is an extraordinary festival. It's a kind of bit of a bit hippie. It's a little bit... Look, I won't describe it because I haven't been. But one man that has been is Alan Pearl Parkinson. He'll join us shortly and he'll share his views of what Burning Man was. For some people, it's very spiritual. It's a little bit, you know, ung dong ying ying ung.
But it just seems to be, well, nudity in a desert is.
No. Oh, Pearl, welcome. Yeah, you may as well start.
Yeah, I'm going to start. Sorry. When it first started 30 years ago, there were a lot of hippies around.
Yep.
Hey, Ashbury, you know, everyone.
Oh, yeah.
Let's have some acid, run around naked, and you look great, honey, you know. 30 years on, we're in the Nevada desert with technology. People keep their clothes on. There's a couple of places you can go and take your clothes off.
Just get that statement.
Yes.
We're in the Nevada desert.
With technology.
Thank you very much. All right. We would like to hear from you. Have you been to Burning Man? Have you been to, what is it, Rainbow Serpent?
Rainbow Serpent,
here?
Yeah.
Any of those festivals?
Cause and there are other burning festivals around the world as well, isn't there?
No, just the one Burning Man in America.
There's a few smoking festivals.
Smoking festivals. Okay.
Have your say. Share your thoughts. Connect with your community. Email onair@joy.org.au. SMS 0427 JOY949.
Hide and seek.
Fireball.
You are on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9, your program for exploring sex, sexuality and self. Andrew the Apprentice and Dean Beck are with you tonight.
Now, Andrew, once a year, tens of thousands of people gather in the middle of the Nevada desert and they create a temporary metropolis dedicated to community, art, self-expression, self-reliance and a few other things, Pearl Parkinson.
Passion. Creativity.
They're known as burners.
Burners, that exactly.
Yeah. How did you get to be going?
Look, I've known about Burning Man for many years from working in San Francisco in the early days on the gay pride parties. And I just, you know, it just never happened. And one of my very close friends, Alan, he's been quite a few times and he's the last 3 years been on my case. You got to come. This year I could because the leg, So my dear friend Alan flew me over and we went off to Burning Man for the first time. But there wasn't much I didn't know about it, but I was still wiped off my feet.
We have five fun facts about Burning Man and we're going to go through them and then we're going to get you to elaborate.
Okay.
Here's number five.
Number five. Goods are acquired through a gift economy. The culture of Burning Man, we're told, is the sort of thing that you just have to experience to understand, and once you do, you'll never be the same. Given how accustomed most of us are to consumer culture, one of the biggest culture shocks is that there is almost nothing for sale here. Participants, or burners as they're called, bring all the food and water they'll need for the week, plus extra things to gift. Unlike in a barter system, these gifts are unconditional and could be anything from a shiatsu massage to a banana. Of course, anything you are gifted or any garbage you create must come back out with you, as the fest follows a strict leave no trace policy.
There is no money, Pearl.
Nothing. No exchange of anything. Except if you go to the central camp and you want coffee. You can buy a coffee. And they have like 40 baristas.
And that's it.
You can buy coffee.
They got their priorities right there.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
So if you want to take grog,
There is free grog there. Some of the, shall we call them, camps or not clubs, or you know, except for the big clubs, they call them camps where
they're like a mini commune, yeah, that like the whole people have like got together.
It's like a big tent or something, sure, or whatever, yeah, or some wooden structure thrown together with a couple of bits of blue tack, you know,
yeah,
or a couple of nails. Some of them do give alcohol away for free, but nothing's labeled, so you wouldn't know basically where that came from or whatever. But a lot of these smaller groups do get funding from some corporate sponsorship. But
is that hard to get your head around at first?
One hour being a Burning Man, my head was in a spin, and I had to get my head right around it because it's you're in a different culture, basically, because there's no money exchange. There's no, you know, the consumerism is gone. It's out the window, you know.
It's all about giving. So yeah, you take a lot of stuff and you give it all away.
Yeah, well, we took all our own food and everything. Like someone walked up to me one day and said, do you want a spare eye? And I was like, sure. And they gave me that, you know.
A toy ball eye.
Yeah, we've got more things in there. I mean, people just, like a guy walked up to me and had this big tray of sunglasses and I had gorgeous ones on the bike. He said, would you like some new sunglasses? Pick a pair. And I said, okay, I'll take these. And I, you know, took mine off and put these on. So, you know, people are just giving away, you know, people just give away anything. And there was one camp that was called Bloody Mary and Bacon. And from 6 a.m. to 1:30 in the afternoon, they gave away a Bloody Mary and two slices of bacon to anybody. But then there was the toasty camp that made toasted sandwiches for 5 hours a day.
All they did for 5 hours was make toasted sandwiches.
Yeah. I know it sounds really quite boring, but it's just, you know, you're standing there and you're just in a whole different aura because everybody's on this same page of like, there's two rules. Everything you take, you have to leave with.
Every camp must need a project manager to organise the logistics of getting all that stuff there.
Well, the big ones, yes, the big camps, but the smaller ones, I think, you know, most people are quite sensible, you know. It's not too hard to put a trestle table up, make a couple of bits of butter, bits of bread. But there are some bigger camps, yes. Well, the logistics on the whole thing itself, just crazy.
So did you and your mate go with on in a car, or did you have to get
a camper van? We took three RVs. Darling, I wasn't doing a tent.
Are you with her?
I can show you.
And they were decked out.
We had three RVs, and they were like in like a sort of like an RV horseshoe.
Yeah. Yep.
And then a silver tent that had been purposely designed to fit in between those and cover them up and cover the floor with Indian rugs and everything.
Now, we'll get to your very special gift in a moment, but this is tip number four of Burning Man. It's about artistic creativity. Have a listen to this.
Number four, burners get around in art cars. Art is our public transportation, said Larry Harvey, creator of the festival. If you want to drive a car around Black Rock City, you need to apply for a permit from the Department of Mutant Vehicles. and your ride will need to meet certain standards of sound, lighting, safety, interactivity, and mutation. Of course, art cars aren't the only impromptu interactive canvases. Impressive structures spring up every year, including an actual observatory. The Temple is an annual installation where burners create memorials for loved ones. And at the end of the week, along with the giant wooden man, it's cathartically burned to the ground.
Pearl, the entire thing is a creative expression, isn't it? I mean, it is shimmering and glittering, and it's kind of all art. The cars and the costumes and the buildings
people,
and the people
the,
and
the bikes, everything.
Now, they mentioned that everyone gets around in art cars, but they actually get around in bikes.
On bikes, yes.
The art cars are sort of like a display thing, aren't they?
Well, the art cars are supplied by certain people that, you know, do that. And what you can do is you can go to an inquiry place and you can actually, there are art cars where you can book to ride around on one night. So, you know, some people just have their art cars for themselves, but some people take them and, you know, they take people on them, you know, like for 4 hours a day, you know, at a time. So now, it is a form of transport to get around.
Sure, but there are 70,000 people and most of them are on bikes.
Yes, there must be at least 52,000 bikes.
So does everyone take their own bike?
Yes.
Right, so they're not provided.
No, you've got to take
your own
bike.
Because the way they were lined up in the videos I've seen, it looked like you could just take a bike and go.
Yeah, you could, but you just remembered where your bike
was.
Yeah,
right.
Go. And, you know, I never locked mine up, but you know, a couple of mornings I came out of environments quite late.
Now, you took something very special as your gift to Burning Man.
I did too, yes, I did too, yeah.
Tell us about it.
Look, Burning Man being, you know, the festival for creativity and light and everything. This one was called the, not Costume of Mirrors or Something of Mirrors.
That was the Carnival of Mirrors.
That was the thing, yeah. And my dear friend, Alan, flew me over first class and back first class. And
thanks very much.
Thank you very much, yes. And because of that, I could take a lot of luggage and I just like, oh, my God, oh, I can take whatever I want. So I called my friend Peter Sykes in Sydney and I was able to get from Peter, it's a mirrored object which has 16 sides. I've used it at a lot of parties in Australia. It's called an icosahedron. I carry that.
It's like the biggest mirror ball you've ever seen, but it's like a hexagon
piece of art.
Ball.
Yeah, okay, and you can see through it and there's a star that hangs in it.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I'll show you a photo.
It's amazing.
So I was able to take that and check it in at 24 kilos.
And the thing's half the size of this
24
room.
24 kilos.
Yeah, 24
okay.
kilos. And, you know, looked like an idiot walking through airports. People looking at me like I was, you know, going off to the circus or something. And when I got to San Francisco, I hired some trussing and all that. Yep. And I built a trussing thing. And
to
I,
hold
and
it up?
Held it up and lit it with LED lights. And we had one storm and it just sat there and idled.
Wow.
And every spun night, and glittered all the way through?
Spun and glittered like it was meant to happen.
Wow.
And we could see it about 800.
It was kind of like your camp's beacon, wasn't it?
Exactly, yeah, yes. Yeah. And other people around us too used it as a beacon as well.
Wow.
And, you know, me being artistic, I just hung it above the RVs, so, you know.
We're speaking with Alan Pearl Parkinson. We're talking about Burning Man in the middle of the Nevada desert. He's just returned from it. 2015 Burning Man, Carnival of Mirrors. You're listening to Hide and Seek on Joy.
At Joy 94.9, there are approximately 300 volunteers bringing you over 75 shows, 24 hours per day, 7 days a week. That's a lot of facts and figures to take in, but here's one more number for you to think about. 1-300-569-949. That's the number to call to talk to the Joy sales team about becoming a Joy sponsor. One phone call can get your business on air and online, reaching thousands of Joy listeners at a price you can afford. 1-300-JOY-949. That's 1-300-569-949.
This is your program for exploring sex, sexuality and self hide and seek on Joy 94.9. Andrew the Apprentice and Dean Beck. We're talking Burning Man.
We are. Alan Pearl Parkinson is our guest, and we're up to.
Well, no, before. Oh, okay. I just wanted to.
Yeah, yeah.
Because in fun fact number 4, they talked about the art cars, but they also mentioned the architecture, and I just want to touch on the architecture because I don't think it's in here. Describe some of the architecture because I've seen some videos, and there's huge installations and and things and buildings essentially.
They've
built.
Used the same architect for the last 15 years. I don't know his name. I was just so overwhelmed with everything. You know, I couldn't ask everything.
The core stuff. There's one designer.
One architect from San Francisco, and he designs the man. He designs the temple, and he designs. There's a female figurine he designs, and there's certain other art objects that he designs as well. But
they look massive.
Oh, they're 3 stories tall.
Oh, wow.
Well, the man was 5 stories high.
Gosh.
Yeah.
So how the hell do you build that in the middle of the desert?
With a fantastic team of logistics and just knowing what you're doing. And it's like anything. You know, once you've done it once and all that, you know, you just it becomes easier.
Mm.
But
Terrell, lighting and pyrotechnics are big at this event.
They are now, yes.
Like, I've never seen so many flamethrowers at a party in my life.
You know, propane.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think that's a very big thing in installations and all that, you know, art installations, and people are getting into that where they're building, you know, organs that blow out gas or whatever. And Burning Man is the perfect platform for these people that, you know, have trees that, you know,
because basically you're in the middle of nowhere, and as long as you're standing back far enough, you're okay to blow.
Oh, well, I was standing there one night and I felt this warm breeze on my back, and I turned around, it was a dinosaur blowing, you know,
hot air
out of me. Like, yeah.
The fun fact number 3 of Burning Man.
Number 3. Activity titles alone are interesting enough for an entry. Here's just a small sampling of the thousands of radically expressive activities and events at the festival, which, in the spirit of gifting, are completely free. Tea and porn. Spankings and cookies. Angels, aliens and outlaws, hip-hop water gun fight. Pornogami. Bad advice booth. Magic pancake project. Ask a Buddhist. Human-powered obstacle course. Hot sex fire jam. Biochemistry of psychedelics, Sketchy the Clown drinking contest, knife throwing class, and finally, thankfully, 12-step meetings.
Now, there are quite a few self-help courses and things that are run just sort of on the side, aren't
they? Just at Burning Man, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, look, you know, San Francisco being the city that cares, you know.
Right.
You know, they're all acid freaks in the 70s, so, you know, that whole community spirit of drug rehabilitation, all that, you know, it goes
it's also about sort of connecting to community and getting a deeper sense of self. And
Well, you've got 65,000 people there now,
all off their tits.
That's the people that brought the tickets, that's not the staff.
Okay. Staff.
Well, the people, the volunteers, yes.
Right,
the volunteers and the people that are there full time, the logistics people, because, you know.
Directing traffic or whatever.
Or doing whatever. I think when you think of that amount of people, they're aware that there's going to be people there that have just finished a 12-step or, you know, or still battling through it. So it's just that, you know, this one event that is all about.
It's a bit spiritual, isn't it?
I wouldn't call it spiritual.
Okay.
Although,
for some people it might be.
Well, yes. Okay, they can. But I was more of a sense of like.
For some people, your lights back in their day were spiritual, Pearl.
Well, I guess so. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I'm pretty spiritual. Yeah, but it was a sense of like I felt me personally that I was on the same page with everyone, just by the way everyone interacted.
The freedom.
Freedom. And because of the consumerism and all that gone, and, you know, everyone's there under the same rules and everyone has to abide by that. So it really just does create this aura and this feeling of.
But it's not about the rules. It's just about respect and appreciation.
Well, the thing is, people respect Burning Man and take everything and leave with everything. Mm-hmm. And Burning Man, people trust them to do that. And that's what happens. I mean, at one stage I thought, God, you know, I could die here. What would happen? But all that's there.
We'll get to that.
Yeah, okay. No.
But you say there's, you know, in some ways there's no rules, but in some ways there's lots of rules because it seems to be there is the take everything, leave nothing rule.
Yes.
And then there's, you know, that there's the no
participation
money
rule.
There's participation rules. There seems to be a lot of rules. It's not anarchy.
No, it's far from anarchy is in San Francisco compared to Burning Man. There's rules, but they're rules that you buy a ticket that gets you into the grounds.
Yep.
And then, look, you could dump something if you want, but someone would probably scream at you. I mean, I did lose a pet cat one night and I was terrified that, you know, I might have got accused of, you know, throwing it away.
Oh,
yeah. You know, but to me, I didn't feel restricted or under the rule book of any sort.
Okay.
Now, there's been an influx in this communal melting pot of some of the world's wealthiest people. Let's have a listen to interesting fact number two.
Number two, tech billionaires chill in entitlement camps.
Come check out my tent. I ordered a bunch of crap off Sky Mall. I got my TV, my Xbox, DVD, awesome bed right there. DJ Roomba's in the mix. It's like I'm not even camping.
The average burner pays a few hundred dollars for a ticket and stays in a camp of people in RVs, tents, and DIY shelters. In fact, creating your own DIY experience is kind of the whole point.
Care for some fondue?
Yeah.
In recent years, though, super rich folks, among them Silicon Valley billionaires like Tesla Motors' Elon Musk and Amazon's Jeff Bezos, have been upgrading themselves into exclusive, luxurious, air-conditioned accommodations that reportedly cost up to $25,000 per person.
Gotta keep the riffraff out. No offense, everybody.
Festival organizers have been cracking down on concierge services that offer pre-packaged, plug-and-play luxury Burning Man vacations, saying that it erodes the festival's culture.
I am used to a certain level of comfort in my life, and I didn't want to sacrifice that.
Now, Pearl, I was going to have a go at you and your luxury RVs, but this seems like another level.
That's a whole different level, but you know what? There's 65,000 people. There's probably only, you know, two dozen of those, so you really wouldn't know where they were. Mm. They could be anywhere within that camp.
And they're kind of missing the point, aren't
they're
they?
They're totally missing the point. Look, I mean, I saw some really large motorhomes, vehicles.
You were in one.
Well, I was in enough. Yeah, exactly. But, you know, I saw some that were just like, Jesus Christ, you know?
Yeah.
But I was just riding past them on the bike. You know, they weren't fenced off or anything like that. They were still just parked in the horseshoe where everyone else parks. It's just that, you know, when they got into their RV,
it was decked out.
It was decked out, yeah. But I had air conditioning and a shower and a microwave and an oven.
It's not basic camping, really, is it? But if you're going for a week, I suppose, you
if
know.
You want to go in a tent, that's basic camping.
Yeah.
But if you want to go in an RV, at least you...
Now, yes. Pearl, describe the environment. I mean, we've seen it's in the middle of the desert, but describe that.
Well, you know, you're driving along an hour and a half out of Lake Tahoe, you know, tar road, and all of a sudden, either side of the road, it goes into white dirt. Mm-hmm. But it's just powder. And it's just...
And it's an alkaline
dust. It's an alkaline desert dust.
Which does weird things to people's bodies.
If it stays on your feet for too long, it can start to eat your skin.
And it makes your eyes crusty and your nose bleed and dry out.
But you need to really get a good, you know, a dose of it. But it can be quite hazardous, yes. I did experience one moment when I hit the deck off the bike and landed in the...
And the dust storms.
The dust storms
Talk
come
about
up
the dust storms.
Well, I was out on the bike one day and I got off the bike to look at one of the temples and all of a sudden I was in a dust storm.
And the temple disappeared.
And the temple was gone. And I thought, well, I'm not in Kansas anymore. And then all of a sudden the dust was gone and there was another temple to my right. And I'm like, well, where did that one come from?
It landed right there.
So, yeah, and they just come and go. But, you know, you might have a half day, a day without one. They don't happen every day. We had a dust storm one day, which went all day, which was really quite bad. But, you know, it's just part of it all, you know. And at first I was like, oh, but then again, at one stage I was like, this is what it's about, you know.
Hide and seek. Joy 94.9.
Dean Beck and Andrew, The Apprentice, with you on Hide and Seek. Our guest is Pearl Parkinson, who is just
burner.
Back. He's a burner. Now, what do they mean by that? I mean, other than an attender.
Well, it's someone
it's got
that
more
gets,
meaning
it's
than
someone
that,
that gets
it.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Gets it. And my friend Steve Baird, that's gone for the last 15 years, he came up to me at the end of it. He said, I just want to thank you and say, welcome to the Burners Club.
You've got it.
You've got it. You're a burner. You get it. You know?
Now, Dean, we've been going through five fun facts about Burning Man, and we've got one more to go.
Yes, probably the most important one.
Number one, you might die, and that's your responsibility. In fact, it says so right on the ticket. It's hard not to see why. People are exposed to fairly extreme weather, climb on big interactive sculptures, zip around on mobile art, create massive walls of fire, and do most of this on drugs. The specific numbers might be somewhat confounded by the fact that serious accidents are treated off-site in nearby Reno, Nevada, and so burners who die there aren't technically dying at the festival. But one of the principles of Burning Man is radical self-reliance. This may account for the fact that on average, there's less than one death per year. And the majority of the 4,000 plus injuries reported tend to be simple cuts, blisters, and dehydration. It is the desert, after all.
Could die, Pearl.
You could die if you were stupid.
To sit on one of those flamethrowers.
One of those flamethrowers and, you know, light a cigarette and blow up.
But there are people climbing all over erections everywhere.
Well, look, this was some information that I was given at this year's Burning Man, that originally a lot of people used to go to the Burning Man, and I guess they weren't in a very good headspace, and there were a couple of Burning Mans when they set the man on fire to burn him with firecrackers first, and a lot of people run into it, and you know. And,
oh, no.
And they, yeah.
No.
Happened a few times, yeah. So
I'm glad they didn't do it this year, because they blew it up with that much propane, the thing looked like
they wouldn't have felt it.
An atomic bomb.
Yeah, totally. they wouldn't have felt it. But look, you know, most of the installations, they're massive and they're built, but they're not built out of, you know, scaffolding and all that, where you can, you know, they're more artistic, so. They're very hard to climb up above, but I found myself visually the crowd very well behaved, all over 30, you know.
And you said, they mentioned substances during that little last clip.
That's right.
And dance parties, and as you said, a lot of it's come out of the Haight-Ashbury back in the 70s. So is dance parties, is that sort of one of the key activities that happen, I guess?
Look, I wouldn't say dance parties, music is.
Music, okay.
Music is, because music's always been part of Burning Man.
Yep.
And I guess back in the original Burning Man, it was hippie music. But so now, because this has become an international event, people bring DJs and performers from all around the world. So you get this melting pot of different music, whether it's dance music or ambient music, and played at different sections.
And
at different times. You know, I remember
They have a sort of sunrise dance party.
I was just going to mention that. I was out on my bike at 6:30 in the morning. I don't know why. I should have been in bed. I was out in the deep playa, and there was a huge bus with a massive sound system hanging off it, and I rode up, and there's 4,000 people dancing to this ambient-type music. But the music, and I'm pretty cluey on it, was just perfect. It was.
Now, Pearl, the one question you haven't answered for me, can you get a route at this place?
I got three.
Oh, okay.
Three in a week. That's
That was one night, actually.
Fair enough.
Oh, right.
Yeah. There's a group out of San Francisco called the Comfort and Joy Organization, and I think in San Francisco they organize parties that are sexually based. They build a camp.
Like a mini sex on premises venue?
Well, it's like a camp which is quite big, which you ride up to, get off your bike, and you can, you know, walk through streamers and all that and have fun in this, like, park area. You know, it's all very gay and flags and everything. But amongst that are two very big hawkers.
Pardon?
What?
Hawkers, you know, like tents. A hawker.
Like
a hooker, honey.
Right.
Remember, there's no money transaction.
Like an army tent sort of thing.
Yeah, like, well, there's a small army tent for the serious people, like yourself. there's another big hawker, which I think, you know, and I was standing outside the hawker with my friends looking at this big sheep that the DJ was DJing from, and they said, go in, Alan, have a look. I'm like, well, not really, but, you know. And I did, and it was just, look, yeah, it all goes on, and it's all very well-respected, and everyone play, you know.
Free love.
Free love, yeah.
Yeah, but without mains pressure water. Gotta say, it's not my cup of tea. And now the lights just blow me away. I mean, you look at the videos online, and at nighttime the place just twinkles.
It comes alive.
Yeah.
Everything's
lit up.
All of a sudden, everything.
People are lit up.
People, the bikes, you know, everything just lights up. And
how do they power that?
Well,
it's a bloody long extension cord.
Yeah.
Well, the bikes and all that are just like, you know, battery powered, and a lot of people's clothes are. And I think the
very environmental.
But how did you power your RV? Like
our RV had a generator. A generator, built-in generator. Yeah. So
his lighting rig had a generator just for that.
Yeah. We took a little portable petrol generator just to light the. Yeah. So we didn't have to.
The carbon footprint of all these diesel generators.
I know. Yeah. It's bloody unreal.
Yeah. So but you know the main installations besides the propane ones, you know, are just sitting there. You know, there was the big ball from Sensation which needed power, but I couldn't see a power cable.
Pearl, we've got to unfortunately wrap it up there, but I want to thank you so much for sharing some of your experience of Burning Man with us. And it's clearly, because I've had friends that are desperate to go, others that have been and said it's amazing. So it's really nice to have that first-hand account and so fresh, which is unusual for you. Alan Pearl Parkinson, our guest on Hide and Seek tonight. It's time for us to say goodbye.
It is. Thank you to Pearl for coming in and talk about Burning Man, also reminiscing about Kerry Lagore.
Yeah. I want to say thank you to our wonderful podcast man, David, who does a tremendous job each and every week.
Yes. And so go to joy.org.au/hideandseek for all the podcasts.
And I want to say congratulations to you, Andrew.
Yes. Why is that?
Because, you know, you're now even better than a boss. you're like the boss of the bosses.
Well, not really. But anyway. I mean,
you have had the most meteoric rise in this entire organisation. For someone who...
I don't think so. And also, congratulations to you, Dean, changing the subject, because if you missed it early this evening, Dean was on The Project on Network 10.
No, I haven't seen it, but
yeah, you haven't seen it, but we have had reports coming in on email that you were very, very good. So
thank you for your very kind words, everyone. I really appreciate it.
So Network 10, apparently stream it or it'll be on the website.
Follow me on Twitter at Dean Beck on air and you'll find it. I'll tweet it.
Some of the Hide and Seek crew will be back next week. I'm not here, but others will be.
And we'll have something really exciting to talk about.
We will.
No idea. But until then. Check out our podcast at joy.org.au/hide and seek.
That's right.
Till next time, you keep well.
Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
You can subscribe to Hide and Seek's podcast for free. Visit joy.org.au/hide and seek for more information. Suggest a topic, a guest, or provide feedback. Email hideandseek@joy.org.au.
Hide and seek.
Hide and seek.
Hide and seek.
Hide and seek.
Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.